Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for today is the gospel lesson appointed for this, the 12th Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, starting at the 13th verse. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he strictly charged the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you are the one who opens our eyes to see who you really are. And we praise your name that you do that you give us this gift of faith. And we ask that you do that today, that you quieten our hearts to shut out all the things of this world, and that you open our hearts to receive your word. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, I've been seeing an increasing number of social media posts where Christians have been telling me that they're struggling with their faith. I've also seen an increase in prayer requests issued by either by a Christian or on behalf of a Christian friend, a relative or co-worker, who suffered from an upswing in anxiety or struggled with a flattening of emotions, or who has felt their ability to cope with even a day-to-day task has been compromised. And this isn't limited just to the laity of the church, by the way. This is extending up right into the lives of church workers and pastors, and I must add their spouses as well. Not surprising, given this world that we're in right now, 2020, what a year. We've been moved from a deadly virus to murder hornets to a global sandstorm to people rioting in the streets to a massive explosion in a year where there's an occurrence where cicadas are hatching out en masse and raising up a great noise. And now we're facing even a double hurricane that might slam into the southern United States, and it's only August. Okay, so what do we do about it? Without a moment of hesitation, Scripture would say that we should trust in God. Lest we forget, in Psalm 46, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea." And that might sound like a pat answer. We're in crisis. What should we do? Trust God. Trust God. How can we, who are living in this world, living in all these challenges, trust? After all, those challenges are so huge and our faith seemingly so small that it feigns like a waning moon, shrinking in size to the point where it simply fails to exist. As if the moon never ceases to exist, and neither does our faith. And Scripture reminds us of that as Christians. Take heart. This isn't the first 2020 year that's ever happened. Adam and Eve had a 2020 year, so to speak, too. And so too did all the sinners who were ever born after them. They died, and all of their children right up to this day have been born dead in their transgressions. So dead, in fact, that they couldn't even begin to see Jesus, let alone believe in him. That's what happened to the people that Jesus was asking about. "Who do the people say that I am?" The scribes and the Pharisees and all the educated people of Israel had the answer right before them in Scripture, and they who were the spiritual leaders of an entire nation missed it completely. John the Baptist, maybe? Elijah, perhaps? Or Jeremiah? Maybe one of the other prophets? They knew Jesus was someone special because he was doing special things as only the great men of the Bible did. But they couldn't grasp fully the deity, the godliness, the full godliness of Christ, because they and all the masses who listened to their teachings lacked faith. But who do you say that I am? Whenever Jesus uses that simple little comparative conjunction, we know something is about to be revealed. This is what the world is saying about me, but wait for it. What do you know? What do you know? It's actually surprising what we know. We know exactly what comes next in this scripture lesson. We eagerly await that great confession of faith that's about to be given. Simon Peter wasn't guessing when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Rather, his confession flowed out of his mouth by faith, very much like water pours out of an inverted bucket. But Simon Peter wasn't the only one making that confession. Jesus was asking this question globally. He was asking all those disciples who they said he was. And at the same time, he was asking every one of us whose eyes or ears have ever experienced this text about what we ourselves know. Simon Peter spoke on our behalf, on everyone's behalf. And we responded to what he said with a hearty amen. Amen, yes, it is so. But why? Why do we make this our confession? Many a time I've asked confirmands and people whom I've counseled how they've come to this faith. Some would tell me it was through their parents or because of a friend or maybe by a pastor's words. But that's not how they came to faith. That's merely how they came to hear God's word. Scripture reminds us that it was neither the Apostle Paul nor his fellow missionary in Christ, Apollos, who grew the church in Corinth, or any man or any other person in any other town or village that caused the people to become Christians. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but it was God causing the growth. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-7, God and no other. God wills to give that growth, and we're blessed to receive it. And need I tell you, that gift of faith that God uses and gives so generously is powerful. The church itself is built upon that faith. The gates of hell can't prevail against that faith. And if the gates of hell can't prevail against it, you can stand in confidence that 2020 won't be able to stand against it either. Jesus knew that his disciples were about to have a 2020 year. Their friend and their God was about to die right before their very eyes, and they were going to be absolutely helpless to prevent it. So he entered into this conversation to comfort them and to give them something to hang on and even to empower them as they came through the darkness of the cross and witnessed the great light of life in the resurrection. He gave them something even more powerful to hang on to. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This gift has been bestowed upon each and every one of us who are recipients of God's faith. I might speak absolution up here publicly as a called and ordained servant of the word, or if necessary, withhold that absolution publicly as required by my office as your pastor. But you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you've been made recipients of this same gift too, as God's church. You can speak forgiveness to the penitent and withhold it from those who are not in the name of Jesus Christ. And it will be binding because you're speaking with God's faith and God's authority out of that gift of faith. In other words, he who has given you the faith to stand upon Christ has granted you the ability to stand upon God's faithfulness. What you bind, he binds. And what you loose, he looses, and all that happens completely on the basis of faith. To help you to remember what God has given you in this gift of faith, I'd like to draw your attention to Psalm 138:3, our key verse for this week. "On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased." And as always, you can download that verse from our website by clicking on the link to this week's interactive worship folder, or you can download the desktop background that's right up on our homepage and have that verse on your screen as a wallpaper. We honestly don't know what the balance of this year is going to bring. We honestly don't know. But no matter what it is, no matter what life brings us, we do know that our Lord has brought, is bringing, and will continue to bring us his faith. May we continue on in that faith and be strengthened, emboldened, and empowered to eternity in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. You are a God who cares for us so greatly, and you've given us faith to believe. You've given us faith to trust in Christ Jesus as being our salvation, as being our resurrected Lord and our life. And it's that powerful gift that stays on our hearts, and we thank you for that. But Lord God, you've also empowered us as your church to speak your word, to tell people that they are forgiven when they repent of their sins, and to withhold that forgiveness if they are not repenting of their sins. You'll stand behind us on that. That is your faithfulness, and we praise your name for that. We ask, dear God, that you open our eyes to see the opportunities that you put before us. As you always tell us, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We all pray, dear God, that you bless us, that you send harvesters out into the field, and that you use us as well. Embolden us, God, and bless us. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And amen.